Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, everybody. It is the WifeAbility.com morning show with your host, Adrian E. Bell. It's another WifeAbility Tuesday. It's July 1st, 2014, and it's going to be an awesome show today. I'm super excited because today marks Sizzling Summer Sex Series in the world of WifeAbility. Oh, my gosh, it's going to be awesome. I'm super excited about today's guest. Everybody knows of my two favorite subjects, well, actually three, love, sex, and relationships, but I think it's like prayer and then sex and then prayer, but prayer a little bit more, and then sex is like 1B. Amen. So I'm excited about today's show. It's going to be fun. I think sometimes we as women who are, or people that are married, and then we get kind of bogged down in day-to-day operations, quote-unquote, of being married, and we forget to have fun in the bedroom. So everybody knows this is one of my favorite subjects, and so I know our listening audience is
I understand there are some technical difficulties. I hope you all can hear me now. If you can hear me, let me know. Can you all hear me? Okay, yay, you all can hear me. I don't even know where I was. I was just on a roll. Did you hear the prayer? Can somebody tell me if you heard the prayer? Because that's what's most important is the prayer. So, for what you did not hear, I understand that you all did not hear me in the beginning. So, we're going to start over, okay? It's the WifeAbility.com morning show. It's July 1st, 2014. And we're excited that you're joining us today. I don't know what happened to my voice, but that's okay. It's going to be a great day. So, we're going to invite God into our conversation. Let's get started. Father, thank you so much for another opportunity to share this time around your word and just being a great and mighty God. I thank you that this call will go forth unhindered and uncontaminated by any satanic force. We know that the enemy is upset with us, but he loses because we win in you, Father. So we thank you so much for our speakers today, that they will be able to go forth and someone will be encouraged and excited, ready to do what you have called us to do in marriage. And we give you the praise, the glory, and the honor. It's in the strong and matchless name of Jesus we pray. Amen. Sorry, everybody, about the technical difficulties, but we're back. It is Sizzling Summer Sex Series in the world of WifeAbility. And so for the month of July, we're going to be talking about being married and, you know, how we need to raise the standard of sex in marriage. And it's sometimes we get so intimidated about, you know, a lot of people don't like talking about sex in marriage. They don't like talking about it because it's intimidating or whatever it gets to be. But here's the crazy part. We're not virgins when we got married. Isn't that hilarious? It's funny how we were not virgins when we got married, but we're very shy when it comes to sex and marriage. That's weird. But today we're going to, I just believe that somebody's going to be free today, somebody's going to be released today to relax when it comes down to sex and marriage. But before we get started, I want to bring in my fabulous co-host, the Denise J. with Intentional Moments. Good morning, Denise.
Good morning, Adrian.
How are you?
I am well. Hello, everyone.
So, with this today's topic, wait a minute, hold on, let me back up. We're trying to play on our phone line today. We don't do that. We don't do that. We don't play on the phone. But we don't have those issues today. So, with the subject of sex in marriage, I'm excited about today's topic of bringing sex back to the marriage, and I can't wait for our guest, Gail Crowder, to talk about that subject, because a lot of people fail to tackle that. They don't want to talk about it. We're not talking about it in churches like we should. We're not talking about it, you know, even with our young adults as we're coming up, or as they're coming up, or our young teenagers. We're not talking about it. But
as over the last few months, as you've been exploring, we've been exploring the spiritual side of sex. Because I can say in my marriage, nobody ever taught me to pray over your sex life. You know, nobody told me to ever do that. So when I was like, oh, wait a minute, I can pray about finances, I can pray about all this other stuff, and I can pray over my sex life. Isn't that wonderful? And then nobody ever told me that I could pray the word over my marriage. Proverbs chapter 5, verse 19 has become one of my favorite scriptures when it says, may her breath satisfy you always. Scripture was talking to the mom was having a conversation with her son about his future wife, and she was telling him, may her breath, not the harlot up the street, but may your wife's breath satisfy you always. May you ever be intoxicated with her love. And a lot of preachers, you don't see anybody on YouTube preaching from Proverbs chapter 5. Amen. And then number three, oftentimes the society tells women that your main sexual organ is your mind, right? So we oftentimes get caught up in all of the emotional things, but we have to invite God into this subject because there's so many couples that are being deceived in this area. So, Denise, what has God shared with you as you talk about intentional moments today? Denise, are you there?
Hello, can you hear me?
There you go. I can hear you
okay.
Now. There you go.
Sorry, I forgot to unmute my phone. Simply, people don't want to talk about sex in the confines of a marriage with respect to being Christians. I don't know why some people think that when you become a Christian, you just simply stop having sex in your marriage. That is so far from the truth. You said something about, you know, the mind, sex starts in the mind. Men are physical creatures. Women are emotional creatures. We like to make sure the kids are taken care of, the bills are paid, the house is clean, everything is done, then we can relax and sit down and talk and have sex with our husbands. Mm-hmm. Contrary, you know, we make appointments to go everywhere. We make appointments to go to the dentist. We make appointments to go to the doctor. We make appointments to go get our hair done, our nails done. Why can't we make an appointment to have sex with our husbands? Don't pencil your husband in your appointment book. Ink him in, stamp it in, you know, tattoo it in your book. Make an appointment to have sex with your husband, because if you're not having sex with your husband, you're going to have sex with someone else. So I mean, it's just the truth. I mean, you know, you open up the door for opportunities to come in. For your husband to look elsewhere. I mean, that trick in the office may come in looking good. You come in, he's coming home, and you got a rag on your head. You know?
Right.
I mean, this is just real talk. And I have to say to, you know, speak for myself as well, you know, for a long time I was at home, and, you know, out on disability, and my husband was going to work, and I was coming home looking just like I looked when he left home, left to go to work that morning. And it's I'm seeing the same thing that I saw when I left this morning. You're in the same position that you were in when I left this morning, and I had to check myself. Like, that's not cool. That is not cool. Because he's going out, and he's looking, not intentionally, he's just because he has eyes. And, you know, the mind, sex starts in the mind for women. And I think we need to get our mind renewed with the Word of God. See, we read that scripture, renew your mind with the Word of God, and we think, oh, spiritually. Sure, of course spiritually. But it also helps in other areas. If you have a renewed mind, then you'll understand the scripture that also says, do not defraud your bodies from your husbands.
Right.
If you have a renewed mind, you'd understand that. So, you know, don't come with, you have a headache. Well, you know, they got a pill for headache. Take a pill.
Oh.
I see the medicine works real well. You know, and the Lord showed me that's a lot of things that are going on with women, and they're on the pill. They're on the pill because they got a headache. They're on the pill because their stomach aches. They're on the pill because, you know, all these back aches. They're on the pill because their leg aches. Well, honey, if you get on your husband's pill, you won't need a pill.
Well, come on, preach this morning then. That's true. I must admit every time. Yes, it helps. It helps tremendously.
I mean, because it relieves a lot of stress in your body. And, you know, it's not a chore to have sex with your husband. Come on, like.
Shouldn't be.
It's not a job that you go to 9 to 5. It's like, oh, God, I got to clock in again. Let me just lay here. Okay, time's up. Break.
Nurse. But it's true.
You know, I don't know too many people. I don't know anyone that have died from having a sexual moment with their husband.
Well, child, you know, the man in Color Purple, he died with his wife on
Well,
top
I mean,
of
you know, there's
bed.
Obviously
I mean, she was
there's obviously some underlying health issues there. But for the most part, just simply, you know, having sex with your husband is enjoyable and healthy.
Yes, that's right.
For some men, that's the way to go. But, you know, I mean, like you said earlier, most of us weren't virgins when we got married. I wasn't.
Oh, yes.
I wasn't. I mean, I'm just being real. I wasn't a virgin when I got married.
I wasn't.
And so, you know, why get married and then you stop having sex? When you get married, you're supposed to have all the sex you want with your husband. I mean, think about it. I didn't get married for my husband to take me to the movies. I could take myself to the movies. I didn't get married for my husband to buy me clothes. I could buy my own clothes. I didn't get married for my husband to cook me dinner. I don't cook, but I know how to cook. I just didn't get married for those things. Marriages are made up strengths and weaknesses. Where I was weak in sex, he was strong in sex.
Got it.
You understand? I didn't get married for him to take me to the movies. It's nice, but I don't need him to take me to the movies. If I want to do things right in the confines of my marriage, I married him so we can have sex. I love him. I love him. We can have sex legally.
Right.
So, I mean, while you making appointments and being intentional about going to the nail shop and going to get your weave done, you can make an appointment and have sex with your husband. And I don't want to hear that you got a headache. You got a headache because you've been sitting in the salon for 6 hours and they've been weaving the hair into your head. So that's why your head is hurting. Your husband ain't had nothing to do with that.
Oh, my God. Your head wouldn't hurt if your weave wasn't tight. How about that? Trade your lace front for a lace lingerie. How about that?
Okay, and they have a pill for them headaches. Take you some acetaminophen at 500 milligrams from work. Take another one. Give it a 30 minute.
Look, sometimes I don't even have a headache, and I just take one just in case.
Just in case.
But it's true. It's true, sis. It's like we are very intentional about everything else. But as soon as it's time to be intimate, and me too, I'll be the first to admit that I won't lie to him, because I know some women lie and say that they're on their cycles and they're not. Some women lie and say that they're, you know, all these other things, they're having all these other health challenges and they don't. And here's the thing, what people don't understand, when you speak those lies over your life, then you'll try to figure out, I've been on my period for, 2 years now, because you've spoken that into your life, right? But anyway, we don't want to get off on that, but...
Yeah, and that's a good point. And I'm glad you brought that up, because a lot of women do lie about that. They may not say, I'm feeling pain, I don't feel good, when the real issue is, I really don't want to have sex with my husband. And so we must get into the reason as to why you don't want to have sex with your husband. There's a reason there. I mean, it could be, you know, legitimate reasons like a rape or a molestation or what have you. But look,
sure,
I'm not discounting what happened to you. That's horrible. It happens too often to too many men and women, okay? But we have to get to a point in our lives where we stop allowing our past to affect our present and our future. God got you through that horrible situation. He didn't get you through it to just leave you and like, okay, I got you through it, now here. We have to trust God by faith, not just to get us out of those horrible situations, but
that's
to
right.
live the abundant life that he said we would have. Now, we could choose to believe his word and live the abundant life and happy and free and allow him to, you know, purge all that horrible stuff out of us, or we can just sit in our mess and have a pity party and blame everybody for everything forever.
Wow.
I choose, got my hand raised up, I choose to be free. Be free. I'm going all in with my husband and having
yes,
sex.
No.
Yes, I said it. Sex.
Oh, my God.
Husband.
Yes. But wait a minute, y'all. Listening audience, let me tell y'all something. When I met Denise about a little over a year ago, there is no way that she would ever talk about anything like this publicly, ever in life. So it's so funny to hear her talk this way and the freedom in your voice, Denise. I absolutely love it. I'm excited. And I'm excited
and so
also
I
about.
Say, I have to say, my husband loves it too.
I know he does. Like, who is this mad woman? Who is this mad woman that I'm with now? So that's a wonderful thing. We do have to evolve. And Denise, you've been married how long?
I've been married. We've been married 9 years. We've been together 12 years.
Okay. Awesome. So listen, today I'm excited because we have a celebrity among us, child. Gail, look, I said that earlier. She was like, oh, no, that would not be me. Yes, she's so humble, and I just love her already. Gail Crowder is the founder of Bringing Sexy Back to the Marriage. She actually is a rising celebrity. She was recently featured in the May 2014 issue of Ebony Magazine in an article entitled The Big O as a top resource assisting women in achieving sexual success. And I am so thankful and grateful that she took time out of her very busy schedule to join us this morning. She just got off of a flight this morning, just like a true celebrity does, just got back, you know, she's kind of chilling, you know. She's like, y'all go ahead and do your little show. So go ahead. So I'm so thankful for Gail this morning. Good morning, Gail.
Good morning. Can you hear me?
I sure can. How are you?
I'm doing wonderful. And that is not true at all. I'll do your little morning show. Whatever. This is so awesome, and thank you so much for having me.
Absolutely. We're really, really excited about you joining us today, and we're excited about you talking about your brand, Bringing Sexy Back to the Marriage. That is awesome because here's the thing. Many times, like I said earlier, that nobody wants to talk about sex until, you know, unless it's just really, really bad or really, really horrible. But how about we could just raise the standard and just talk about some of the great things and the benefits and things of that nature. So first of all, tell our listening audience a little bit about you and how you came up with the brand Bringing Sexy Back to the Marriage.
I've been married July the 20th. I'll be married 26 years, so I'm truly excited about that. I got married very, very young because I'm only 20 myself. Not just my age. I'm 46 years old and glad to own it and proud to own it. And I got married at age 21, had no business being married at all. But
wow.
I married my life partner, and at the time I didn't realize what marriage was all about because I did not see healthy marriages all around me. You know, I seen bosses in marriages. And what do I mean by bosses? My mom was the boss of my dad. My grandmother was the boss of my grandfather, and my aunt was the boss of her husband, so I went into my marriage being a boss. And what do I mean by being a boss? I took charge, made decisions, and I didn't ever see a head of a household ever. And so I went into my marriage having been not seen healthy marriages. And so I went into my marriage as a dictator. And for the first 7 years, it was just hell. That's just what I can say, just hell. And my mouth was a lethal weapon. And I tore my marriage down for a long time, just saying whatever I thought, because that's what I had seen. And when you, you know, raised up in that area, being dysfunctional, you don't really know how to change it. But I received a really good wake-up call in 1996 when I walked in my door and I thought somebody had robbed me, but my husband had left me. And so he left me because he said, if you can only take half of what you dish out. And that gave me a reality check. I realized that me being a boss in my marriage wasn't what God had for me. And he wanted me to truly, truly, truly realize that my mouth had power, my words had power, and that I had truly destroyed my marriage. But moving forward, after being married 19 years at the time when I started bringing sexy back to the marriage, I was at a luncheon. We went to a networking event with myself and three other girlfriends. And all of us had been married at the time 15 years or more. And you know how you talk with your girlfriends and you talk about, you know, the surface stuff, like he's getting on my nerves and, you know, all of those different things, you know, throughout the years. But we had never, ever had a conversation about sex and marriage and if it's good, bad, happy, or sad. We just never did. But we had went to this networking event, and then we went to lunch after the networking event, and it was around 12:15. And one of my girlfriends who had been married before and had been divorced for around 8 years had just gotten recently remarried at the time for about 6 months. She had been married about 6 months. And we sat down at the table, and the guy took our, you know, drink order, and she just blurted out. It had nothing to do with the networking event, had nothing to do with anything that was going on in the restaurant. And her first words was, all he wants to do is just have sex. That was just, I guess, on her mind. I don't understand where it came from, but that began a conversation from 12:15 to almost 8 p.m.
About
sex, marriage, and everything in between. And I'm telling you, Adrian, it was a conversation that I had never had. And again, we had all been friends at least 15 years or more. We had never talked about how our body changes and how, you know, menopause and just, you know, why do men go to strip clubs and, you know, what about pornography and the church, how they view that? I mean, when I tell you we went in. And when I got in my car, we all, you know, drove different cars because we all live in different areas of the DMV. On my way home, it was like God just was like dealing with me saying, you know, you got to do something about it. You know what I mean? I'm like, do something about what, God? You know? He's like, the conversation you had with your girlfriend, there are women all over the world that don't have a safe place to come together, especially Christian women, don't have a safe place to come together. And just like your girlfriend blurted that out, someone else in the world needs a place to blurt that out.
That's good.
And that's where bringing sexy back to the marriage came. And, you know, I did not have the tools. I did not have the path. I didn't have anything. All I knew that he told me that I needed to do something about that. And, you know, at first I was like, I'm a image consultant, guys. That's what I do. I teach CEOs and human resource directors how to get their employees to adhere to dress code policy. I don't have any skills in this. And so every time I went in to pray, he would bring that up. And at the time, one of the young ladies, Kim Reed Butler, it must have been that every time she went in to pray, God was telling her the same exact thing. And so one day she called me and she's like, "Gail, we have to do something about the conversation we had." And granted, that was like 2 weeks later when we had this conversation. I'm like, God's been dealing with me as well. And so we came together and we talked. And she's like, "What is the name?" I said, "I don't know what the name is." And God gave me Bringing Sexy Back to the Marriage. And at the time, The song from Justin Timberlake was very, very popular. So when I went to search the name Bringing Sexy Back, of course, he had, you know, taken over the whole entire, you know, thing with that particular name. And God just said, add to the marriage. And that's where it really, really started. That's where it started, Adrian.
I love it. I love it. So what I appreciate about, what I appreciate is your ability to articulate that you have been married 15 years or more, and that's where we're coming up in wifeability is the challenge of wives coming up on that either I'm 40 and over or I've been married 15 years or more. And I mean, and some that's been married 9 and 10, it's like, okay, we're getting kind of bored now. So I think it's just a trend that the enemy is using. I don't necessarily think it has to do anything to do with the quantity of years, but it could. But I think a lot of the times that people, wives are just, and not just wives, I want to make sure that we're very clear because we do have husbands that are on the show as well that are our faithful listeners. So thank you guys for listening to our show as well. Because somebody's wives, you know, are frustrated. You know, they want to have sex with their husbands and their husbands are older. So can we flip it for a second? How do you minister to the wives whose husband is having challenges? Either he's having an erectile dysfunction issue, he's having, you know, some men have porn addictions, so they're not even interested in having sex with their wives, so on and so forth. Some men are on the down low, you know. We have a lot of different facets of issues in marriage and sex particularly. But what have you seen as being in this industry? I would say that you are one of the pioneers in this industry as far as being a Christian woman talking about this type of subject. What have you noticed are the trends in this industry?
What I've noticed, the number one trend is a breakdown of communication between the husband and the wife. Mm-hmm. And people say, oh, that's so simple. No, it's true. If you're not communicating, if the communication is off, that's where the door is open for so many things like pornography, no sex, I got a headache, all those things seep in through non-communication because I know it happened to me. And because when you're in a marriage, and the communication goes, everything else goes astray. And if you think about it, when you were first dating and having premarital sex, because a lot of us did it because we wanted to test the waters before we jumped in.
Well, bless God.
We was communicating, baby, I love you. Oh, you look cute. Oh, show me your butt. Or whatever. We was doing all of that communication. So the foreplay and all that stuff was going on prior to the act. Now where we have bills, children, the 2.5 cars, all the stuff that we have going on in our life, our jobs, our stresses, what's for dinner, all those things, we begin to communicate less and less and less about what our sexual desires are. And so, therefore, that opens the door where there's no communication there. There's no flirting. There's no foreplay. So when you do get to the point where you want to engage, it becomes a job or it becomes an issue because there's a lack of communication in other areas of your life with your spouse.
That's right. That's right.
That's the reason why dating and without your children and planning is so important. We plan to go on vacation. We set up the time. We make sure that airfare. We have the money. We do whatever we need to do to plan a vacation with our girlfriends. We plan to leave for work at a certain time to make sure we're on time for whatever that presentation or whatever we're supposed to do according to, you know, for our jobs. We plan to do every single thing except for to really engage in real open, wide, good sex with our partners. And
that's a
lack of communication and a lack of planning.
That's good. That's good. That's good. So how would you minister to that wife whose husband does not want to have sex? Because I've seen it. When the first wife I encountered with that issue, at first I thought I was being pumped. I was like, okay, wait a minute. Is she being funny? But she was like, no, he does not want to touch me. He does not want to have sex, but he's not cheating. He's not, you know, he's not dealing with anybody else. He just does not want to have sex. Now, of course, he's older than she is, maybe about, I think, 10 years or something like that. And so, and I just have a particular wife in mind, and I know that there's a that challenge there. How do you minister to her?
Well, my thing with her is, first of all, she needs to develop a prayer life, because when they became one flesh, God gave her everything that she needed in order to be able to please her husband. So the first thing is she needs to ask God to truly reveal what's going on with her husband. And then the second thing is she needs to sit down and have a conversation with her husband, because maybe it could be that he is having some medical challenges. Maybe it's that he has truly lost interest in her as a wife. You never know until she opens that dialogue. But the first thing is that she needs to ask God to really prepare his heart to have that conversation, because she doesn't want to say, now, why don't you want to have sex with me? Because sometimes we kill the answer with our mouth before they even give it to us by badgering them for the answer. You understand what I mean? And that's the reason why I'm saying she really needs to seek God first and ask for wisdom how to approach her husband with those particular questions. Like, honey, you know, I love you. I truly want to engage with you sexually. I want to please you sexually. But can you tell me what is going on with you? If it's a medical issue, I'm here to stand by you. I want to go with you to the doctor if you allow me to just, you know, see where we can get help in this area. And a lot of men, if they're struggling with that type of issue, they don't want their wives to really be involved. Especially if they have not had communication about this area, especially if they're not communicating well in other areas of their life, because he could be dealing with depression and feeling less than a man in that area. And it could be that she's also maybe, and I don't know this particular lady, she might have already castrated him with her mouth, saying, well, you can't whip it to me the way I wanted you to. And, you know, we do so many different things, and that could be a direct result of what we said with our mouth.
That's very true. That's so true, because I do know wives that do that, and they'll say things like, well, you know, my baby daddy. Wait a minute. Hold up. Did you just remind your husband of what your children's father used to do to you? That's absolutely out of order. And you're right. I think there's a with every wife that does have that challenge of the husband not wanting to be intimate or have sex, I should say, I think it is a thing of the mouth and how we just don't know how to talk to our husbands. We don't know the timing. We have really bad timing. We talk to them when we know that they're frustrated, when we know that they have issues. We don't even bother praying for, you know, the communication in our marriage. We just say, Lord, help him listen to me. But we don't say, Lord, help us to get an understanding of each other. Help us to both understand. I don't always agree with my husband, but I do try my hardest to understand where he's coming from. Put myself in his shoes. I did that one time. I literally took my feet and put it in his shoes, his physical shoes, and I asked God, show me how he thinks. Show me, help me to understand and discern what it is he truly needs from me. And the number one thing that came to mind was shut up. How about that? Can you do that? That's real simple. You ain't even got to take a pill for that. Just do it. Just be quiet. So absolutely right. You're absolutely right that communication is absolutely essential for better sex in marriage. So talk to us about, I know that you have a conference called Bringing Sexy Back, the Bringing Sexy Back Conference, and then you also have the Art of the Geisha, which is a class that you do for some of your ladies. So just tell us about, what you offer so that the wives can get connected. Before you do that, can husbands come to any of your classes?
No, because that was the reason why it was called Bringing Sexy Back to the Marriage, because my lane is really to really focus in on the woman and send that woman back in that area as much as possible. We don't have no magic wand when you come to the conference, but we do have a big God And all of my teachers and speakers are anointed women of God, and we go on fast, we pray, we make sure that the atmosphere is set. But I will tell you this, you will not be coming to a church service because you will be coming to talk about love, sex, and marriage and everything else in between. And so it is not another church service, so don't think you're getting ready to have a church service. Is God in the building? Absolutely, because when I show up, he shows up, and the rest of the speakers are anointing women as well. So bringing sexy back, when God gave me the model, he said cover the total woman. And as you know, dealing with wives and all that kind of stuff, the divorce rate in the church is actually just ticked over what it is in the secular world. So there's a huge problem. And just from being able to travel around the country and talking to different pastors and different leaders in ministry, the biggest things that hinder and attacking marriages is financial and the lack of sex and intimacy. Mm-hmm. And so when he gave me the charge, he told me to tackle the sex part, which I have taken a flogging in the church sector, but that's okay because he already told me that I was already equipped when I grew up between two brothers that we used to physically fight all the time, that I was ready to fight, and he was preparing me when I was young. I just didn't know it. And so I'm okay.
Right.
I can handle it. I can handle it. But what we cover in the different bringing sexy back to marriage. Actually, for the year of 2014, which was in January, it was called The Art of the Geisha. And trust and believe me, I took a whipping because I had so many people telling me, why would you want Christian women to come to something and talk about a geisha who's a prostitute and all those different kind of things? And when God gave me The Art of the Geisha, I truly, that was my first thought, God, that's for prostitution. He says, no, I'm not talking about anything, any industry can be made into prostitution, anything.
That's right.
We prostitute ourselves all the time when we was dating them and giving them sex for free, and we just didn't put a monetary thing with it. We just exchanged sex for dinner and a movie. So if you want to look at it like that, I'm just being honest with you, and we've
right.
all done that. You know what I mean? So when he said, I want you to look and really do the research on the geisha is a submissive woman, but she's a powerful woman. And so when we went into the art of the geisha, the biggest thing that he wanted us to learn was the art of submission, because those women know how to submit. They don't become powerless, but they learn how to submit, and they also know how to pleasure their men. So those were some of the principles that we learned in the art of the geisha. So every single year, it's something totally, totally different. In 2013, it was Color Him Red, and what did we mean by that? That meant to be bold, to be loud, to be proud, to be a wife, to be a sexual being, because that's what God created us to be for our husbands. So every single year is something different. And so this year, going into 2015, he gave me creation. And what creation is truly about, it's about a man and a woman coming together to have passionate, bold sex, spiritual sex, God's way. And so that's what we're going to tackle in 2015. And I'm truly, truly excited about it. And when you come to bringing sexy back to the marriage, you can expect to learn the chair dance. Yes, we help you learn to make it rain, because my thoughts is that if he's going to be in the strip club, you can become his stripper. You can make it rain in your own entire house and keep the money in your house.
I know that's right. You go ahead and give me them good dollars.
That's a problem.
Huh? That's right. I said he can give me them good dollars. I'll take them. Amen. Go ahead.
Absolutely. And that will keep you from having some of the financial problems that you might be having when he's out there making it rain at that strip club. At least it'll rain in your own house. And so,
I know that's right. You can recycle them dollars. Amen.
Amen. And so we do that. I mean, with me being an image consultant, I teach you how to, you know, choose sexy lingerie for your body type, because it's an art to that. Men are very visual. They're visual people, so we have to keep it hot and sexy. We teach you how to transform into different characters, because we get so caught up in let's just have sex. Why don't you create a fantasy for your husband? So my interior designer, she talks about how to create a fantasy in your own bedroom or wherever you want to create it, in your house or in a hotel room or whatever, with just things that you already have in your possession. And it's all about transforming, because, again, after being with somebody for a period of time, you want to keep it fresh, you want to keep it new, you want to keep it hot, you want to keep it spicy. And you have to, as a wife, do your part in that and not make it a chore. Make it fun. Make it where it's spontaneous. Make it, and it's not something that you have to go spend a whole bunch of money on. But if you put on some fishnets and a wig, a different color wig, and create this fantasy, I'm telling you, it works. It sparks. It brings back all the stuff that you used to feel when you was first dating him and couldn't wait to see him. It brings back so many different things, and you just become alive. You become alive again because, again, we have put sex, marriage, and intimacy with our husbands on the back burner, dealing with all the other stresses that we have, and that should be your first priority. Your husband should be your first priority in your household.
So good. This is so good.
So good.
If you have questions for Gail, just hit one on your phone, and I will allow you to ask her a brief question. I normally don't open the lines, but I'm going to open it today, so hopefully our listening audience will be very nice to you today, Gail, and if they don't, we'll nicely drop the call. Amen? So I have a question.
I'm okay. I'm open. I truly am. I'm okay. Trust and believe me, after doing this for a long time, I've heard it all, been called everything under the sun, and I'm okay. I'm still standing.
Yeah, I know that's right. Same thing with me, that I'm teaching women, you know, to be quote-unquote nasty. I actually had a first lady tell me that I was nasty because I wanted to be, let me make sure I'm clear. Intimacy is what you do with your clothes on. Sex is what you have with your clothes off. Because people say being intimate with my husband, well, you can be intimate and hold hands. I don't want to hold hands. I want to go get in the bed. So we can hold hands after we're done with that, okay? So anyway, I had this first lady tell me that I was nasty. You know, she called me a Jezebel and all this other stuff, and you know, I'm teaching. Yes, honey, yes. I said, well, Jezebel wanted somebody's head on a platter, and I don't want nobody's head on a platter, so I don't know where they got that from. But anyway, the point was that she felt like I was teaching women to be nasty. And I'm like, wow. So I went to my Bible. I said, okay, let me just make sure I didn't miss something, because I know what the word says, and we're supposed to be intimate with them. We're supposed to be sexual with our husbands. If our bodies belong to them and his body belongs to me, what's nasty about that? If God didn't create Adam and Eve with clothes on, they didn't have no Louboutins on, they didn't have no Abercrombie on, they were naked, okay? So if it was good for them to be naked, if it was good enough for God for them to be naked, why can't wives be sexual with their husbands? So you talked about briefly your challenge in with the church. What has been, can you give us briefly your, just a little bit of your experience with how the church has treated you regarding, I know you said they talk about you making wives into whores and things of that nature. What are some of the other challenges you've had dealing with the church?
I've had, you know, again, bishops to tell me that I'm turning, you know, good housewives and whores into prostitutes, and I have a person who handles my marketing and advertising. And when we first began this, whenever she would talk to them on the phone, you know, they, oh yeah, this sounds great. I would love to have her come in and, you know, do a little spiel. But when she would send them the information, and they would see bringing sexy back or whatever, no return phone calls. She would email them. They would tell her to take them off the email list. I mean, when I tell you, it has been a struggle when it comes to the Christian sector. I mean, really, they were not nice. And my thoughts was is that they want, you know, most pastors and bishops or whatever teach every Sunday that we should be trying to live all 66 books of the Bible. But they want to exclude Songs of Solomon, and that's what that book is about. And so when I, the challenges that I have faced is that I've been, you know, called all kind of names. I've been ridiculed. I've been, you know, saying that, oh, my God, I can't believe that you want to hold this type of conference. Did you miss God? I've been told so many different things. And the thing, at the end of the day, I know what God has said to me concerning this, so I'm okay with this. But I will say this, that I have first ladies from around the country who are coming to Bring It Sexy back. They're bringing their members. First Lady Joy has done a awesome ministry to me by supporting me. Her husband, Pastor Brown, has supported me. I have, Bishop Larry Palmer, who supports me, First Lady Palmer. I mean, Cassandra Jackson, First Lady Cassandra. I mean, I'm telling you, it has been a floodgate. When I said yes to God, he put people in my life and in my path that have said yes. This is what we need, and this is what we're going to support. So I'm telling you, going into my third year, Bring It Sexy Back has been selling out like nobody's business, and it's because it's truly been that people have came to experience it, because it's an experience. It's not something that you can really articulate. You have to experience it. So I am grateful, and I quit asking God, why me? And I say, God, why not me? Bring it on. And so when Ebony actually picked up Bringing Sexy Back to Marriage, it was actually an honor. And I look at it like God saying, I told you I got your back. And so, Adrian, I say to you with wifeability, I send blessings to you because I understand how hard it's been, especially when you're talking about being a Christian woman and tackling sex and marriage and everything in between. So I send you blessings, because keep doing it, because it's so needed. Because when you talk to a secular man or you talk to a Christian man, their needs are still the same. They want
sex. That's right.
That's what they want.
That's right. And even preachers, I talked about this recently with preachers on another show, is that especially those of you who are pastors' wives and preachers' wives and deacons' wives, you know, even when your husband, if he's a deacon and he just got through, you know, counting the money and the offer, that's ministry, and he's tired, you know, when it's done. But preachers, after they're finished preaching, that's when they're most vulnerable. And so that's why a lot of husbands, that's why a lot of wives don't understand how their husbands get caught up in infidelity, because they're trying to figure out, well, if you don't travel with your husband or cover him in some way, meaning allowing maybe an assistant, like a man, hopefully he's not attracted to another man, amen, but allow someone to go and cover him if you can't be with him, because that's when he is most vulnerable, right, when he's finished preaching. So if you have an evangelist, a husband that travels or things of that nature, he has to be covered. But I always encourage women, as often as possible, if your husband is traveling, go with him. If you can, and by any means, go with him, because when he's finished doing his craft or preaching or whatever it is that he does, singing, if he's a singer, he's going to want to be sexual. He's going to want to release. He has to release. And women don't, I had to understand the art of my husband needing to release. We are the receivers. They are the releasers. And so and my husband taught me this. He said, you know, it's a scientific fact that we must release. It's not like, you know, something where I'm just walking around, you know, being horny or whatever. I have to release at some point. So everyone knows that, well, people that know me and that are familiar with the Wifeability brand knows that I condone or I support women making sure that their husbands don't go more than 6 days with some type of release, because he needs that, like he needs food. And women, they're like, oh, yeah, you know, I didn't really think about it like that. So they notice that their husbands are much nicer. Their husbands are much, you know, they have a clearer understanding about life and so on and so forth because they're able to think. But when your man has not had a release, it does clog him up. It clogs up his ability to respond to you correctly. It clogs up, and even you, even me, Asher, if it's been too long for me, my attitude is different. So once I've been able to, quote unquote, release, you know, the way that we as wives release, we have orgasms. Husbands have ejaculation. So what's wrong? Did I say orgasm? I said orgasm. I can't say that. I can say that on my show. I promise you I can.
Absolutely. You can say it on your show.
So I think women sometimes we forget that they have to release. And I think if we can just help them, you know, we say, I want to be a submissive wife and I want to be all he needs me to be. Okay, well, start with the release. Start with the release ministry. If you can help with that, you can help him with a whole lot of things. And a lot of times, if you release, allow him to release first, then the stuff that you want to talk about, the pillow talk, that's a good time to sit and lay in his arms and say, babe, you know, something happened the other day. It kind of hurt my feelings, you know, whatever the case may be. But let the man have a release first and then have a conversation. Yeah. But that's why a lot of times they won't talk to us because they're like, you know what, I ain't got nothing to say. You won't let me talk the way I need to talk, so I don't want to hear it. But listen, yeah, we have a caller on the line. Caller, ending in 1259. I'm sorry, ending in 1259. How are you?
1259. Oh,
I think she hung up. We did have a caller. She hung up. Yep, she did. She did. That's okay. Yeah, 1259 to you, but there's another caller that was on the line for you. As we begin to close, like I said, if you have a question, hit one on your line, and I will be happy to allow you to ask Gail a question. Gail, how many women would you say, have you ever been at your conference and a woman maybe debated what you were teaching, or does everyone come open? I think one of the challenges I have in wifeability is people try to challenge what we teach about sex and marriage, but they'll tell you all day about prayer and all that, and that's good too. We got to pray, but when we get off our knees from praying, we need to go and get on our knees and minister to our husbands, amen. So what issues do you have any quote-unquote hecklers at your conferences?
Oh, absolutely. I had a situation where we was talking about strip clubs, and it was actually towards the end of the conference when we had a panel. We always have boxes around the conference where you can ask us any question. When I say any question under the sun, and you can put it in there anonymously. So this question was what you know about pornography and strip clubs and that kind of thing. And so we were going, as a panel talking about, you know, pornography or whatever. And what I love about God and how bad he is that whenever we have these conversations, it's always someone that's in the audience that has been there, done that, and has came through. So it becomes this wonderful dialogue between wives and giving tools and tips or whatever, not just from us, but just from people in the audience. Well, anyway, going back, it was a question about strip clubs. And this was maybe like 3-4 years ago about strip clubs. And one of my panelists said that if you've never visited a strip club, you need to visit a strip club, especially if you're a man or woman. And OMG, that opened up the floodgates because one young lady got so offended. What do you mean we should be going to strip clubs? Are you crazy? You must not be saved. Why would I want to, as a woman, Christian woman of God, go to a strip club? I mean, when I tell you she went in. And what they were, what was the panelists were saying is that in order for you to really understand why men go to strip clubs, you need to have that experience. We're not saying go there all the time and every day, but that woman fixates on your husband like nobody's business. It's like a laser focus. She looks
That's
him
right.
in his, and she never takes her eyes off of him until that money runs out. And she was saying that how many of us just sit there and look in our spouse's eyes and allow him to see you see inside of what's going on, because the eyes is a channel to a whole bunch of things. And remember, men are very visual. That's the reason why the chair dance is taught at BSB, because we want you to become that woman, and because you already are, because he chose you, because you're his wife, that woman that he desires in that way. So why not strip for him? Why not do a chair dance for him? And what she was saying is that in order for you to understand why they spend that kind of money in that club, you need to see what they do. And that, when I tell you it was an explosion in the room, it was an explosion in the room. But what she was not getting was why her husband was going to those strip clubs and spending thousands of dollars. And it was because that lady took the time to look into his eyes. And whatever his desires was, she met.
Wow.
And so that was one of the things that when I tell you, OMG, it was not nice. But we got through it, and she understood. But, you know, her thing was, I'm a Christian woman. I would never be caught dead in those things where your husbands are going to those strip clubs.
Oh, your pastor husband, in his clergy collar, boo, in his robe, sweetie, he's going to the strip club, right, with his bishop chain on. So she need to, if she goes to the strip club, she needs to go and get her husband out of it, because they are there, okay?
They are
and
there.
So,
absolutely.
They are there. And I understand what she's saying as far as, you know, you don't want to just, because some people, some Christian women go to the strip clubs, and I don't think you should make it a lifestyle, but I think that if that's something that you have to make sure, I don't care what it is, you got to use wisdom in everything that you do. And so if you know that you have some challenges in certain areas, then God ain't talking to you. That word wasn't for everybody. Okay, and I don't think your panelist was trying to be, you know, just tell Christian women, hey, Christian women, let's start a revolution and we go to the strip clubs too so we can please our husbands. No, absolutely not. We can use, that's what we have the Spirit of God for, to give us the creativity that we need in order to teach our husband, in order to minister to our husbands. But I think that's the thing. We don't tap into the creativity of God, because he's the one who created Adam. He created Adam, but he made us. Right, he fashioned us. So I think sometimes we forget to tap into the Creator. He knows his body better than we do. And I think when I encourage women to pray for their sex lives, I hear the headlines look like, oh my God, did you just say pray for your sex life? Yes, I did. You pray for bills. You pay for God. Pray that God pays your bills. You pray for God to do all this stuff. How come you can't pray for a turn-up in your bedroom? Amen. How come you can't pray for your husband to be able to want to be intimate and sexual with you? And I think sometimes we kind of go off on our husbands because they're like, well, you're not romantic and you're not this and you're not that. But I think just like the mind is our sexual organ, our main sexual organ, I think our mouths really make or break our sex lives with our husbands. I really believe that with all my heart, because I even had a point in my marriage. We've been married 14 years, June 17th, and I remember maybe in year, maybe 7 or 8, maybe 9 or 10, and I remember saying to him, well, all you want is sex, so what's the big deal? And he was like, hold up. She said, I'm more than just a walking penis. I'm more than just a person that's just walking around wanting to have sex all day. You know, that's not, yes, I do think about sex very, very often, like all the time, but that's not who I am as an individual. That's my makeup. That's a part of who I am as a man, but that's not who I am. And I looked at him like, boy, bye, you know, you just being deep. But no, he was really saying, you know, you have to make sure that you minister to me more than just jumping into bed and taking your clothes off and jumping up on top of me and doing what you think I want. But that's not what I want. Maybe I really do just want to talk. Maybe I really do just want to hold hands. And I think we get offended when our husbands don't want to have sex and that we feel rejected or whatever the case may be. But going back to what you said earlier, it could be a communication issue. Did you say something that hurt his feelings? Were you were you talking down to him like he was one of the children? Were you being insensitive? Did something, you know, did something weird happen and you didn't address it properly? He overheard you talking on the phone to your girlfriends about him. You know, all of that can break down a man's self-esteem. He has self-esteem issues. Most of our husbands have esteem issues. And like you said, we got to learn how to speak to them in a way that makes them feel comfortable and loved and like we really want to submit to them. So what, what was the challenge with you in the submission process when it came to sex? Did you and your husband have any challenges in that area where you were like, you know what, I'm good, I don't want to be intimate, I don't want to have sex with you, I'm good. Did you ever have that challenge, and how did you get over it?
I've never had that particular challenge, but I have had challenges where my mouth has killed my sex life because, again, it wasn't that I was belittling him in the bedroom, but I was belittling him outside the bedroom with my mouth. Well, I used to say this, what do I need you for? Because when I came into this marriage, I had my own house, my own car, you know, that kind of attitude. And we don't realize that outside the bedroom affects what happens in the bedroom. Because at the time, I did not realize that my mouth that has life and death in it, was killing his intimacy towards me. I knew he loved me. That never wavered. But wanting to engage with sex is like, you just think, said you don't really need me as a man, but then you want me to turn around and have sex with you. You understand what I mean? It doesn't correlate. Mm. It doesn't match up. And I did not realize until I started building him up outside the bedroom that I began to also build him up inside the bedroom. And so that's the reason why I said it's very important how we're communicating with each other, because communication can kill so many different areas of your life, and you really don't realize what the root cause is until you look back and say, my mouth has killed so many different areas of my life. And it started with me being a boss outside of the bedroom, because that's all I heard. Do this. Excuse me, you need to pick up this, or you need to do. And it's the way I was talking to him, like I really was talking to my child, but then at night I wanted a man. And you can't do it. It doesn't work both ways. It just cannot.
That's good.
And so when I started talking to him like he was the head of my household, and that he could do all things, and that I can rest in him knowing that he has a heart towards me and he's going to take care of me and he's going to love me like Christ loves the church. And when I start switching how I spoke to him, let me just tell you, it was on and popping in the bedroom. And the
yes,
are
God, yes, it was.
When you sit back and really think about it, think about how you're speaking to your spouse. And I'm not saying there's not any medical conditions and other things that could be going on in that situation where he might not be, you want to be intimate. And then he could just be in a depressed state with whatever's going on in his life at that time, too. Because men get depressed, too. They just handle it different. They just shut down and don't communicate. And so it's so many different areas that we could talk about, but communication is the biggest thing that can make or break a marriage in every area. If you just look at it, communication is the core. It's the key. It's everything that is built around. And God gave us the gift of voice, and he said life and death is in that. So I say to any woman that is struggling in her marriage, if you improve the communication, I guarantee every area of your marriage will begin. You will see fruits of you changing the way you're speaking, whether it's finance, sex, whether it's self-esteem, whatever it is. When you tell your husband, baby, you so looking good today in those shorts, I'm telling you, you will get a better reaction than say, why are you in them shorts? You look a mess. You see, we can do two different things. I choose to breathe life into my marriage. I choose to. And it's a choice.
Whew. Girl, because you're getting it in today. Listen, I'm going to get one last opportunity. Hits one on your line so I can see your, if you have a question for Gail. I am truly enjoying our conversation. Our listening audience is enjoying our conversation as well. We even have a couple of our male listeners inbox and be like, Lord, thank you, Jesus. Thank you. Somebody is talking to my wife. I know she listens to the show because she ain't giving up nothing. So I am thankful that we handling business. Because listen, here's the thing, and I'm so thankful to God for using you in this industry, and I'm so thankful to be able to partner with you. So, ladies, I'm going to put a group of us together so we can go to her conference in January, because I think I definitely don't want to act like like I'm an expert, because I'm not. I need to learn too. And so she's been in the game 26 years. I've been in the game 14 years. So I'm gonna go sit at her feet, amen. So I can get some tools and tips. Because I'm only going to give my husband about 2 more years and then I'm done. No, I'm just kidding.
Don't turn them in, man. Don't quit. Don't quit, because I'm telling you, all your hard work, all your prayer, whatever, somebody else will come and scoop them up, and then it'll be like, oh, my God. All that,
I know.
All those seeds out of planet, they sprung up, and look at what's going on now. Don't do it.
No, I'm not going to do it. I know that's right, but you know what? Actually, I do have a young lady that did do that. She was sharing with me her story about how she let her husband go, and you know, he cheated and things like that. But God didn't release her to let him go, and so she, you know, she's like, I'm done. I don't want to do this anymore. And he came back and he apologized and everything, and he said, I'm sorry for what I did to you. And she was still kind of like, okay, well, I could. Well, he married somebody else. Amen. And she said, I know that I was not supposed to divorce him. So, ladies, just pray first before you make any sudden moves, because I know I was the queen of the sudden moves. I said, you know what, I don't need this. I don't need you. I'm good, because I never wanted to be married in the first place. So the fact that I was married, I was like, oh, how about I don't have to do this? How about that? And so God had to drive out pride in my life. He had to drive out, because like you said, I was a boss too. My mama's still a boss. You know, my mom was a boss. My grandmother was a boss. All the women in my family, boss, sister, my baby, she's 10. She's a boss. Amen. So I had to learn how to submit, and now I really enjoy it. And sometimes people look at me like, girl, bye, ain't nobody submitting. That's fake. No, actually, there's actually a blessing in submission. It truly is, because I tell you, God has done some amazing things when I've done things in secret that nobody saw me do that was good for my husband, or even things he didn't see or notice that I did right away. He rewarded me almost immediately. I'd get a check in the mail. Somebody would say, Adrian, I want to take you to dinner. I want to take you shopping. I want to do this, because I decided to be submissive. I decided. It's a choice. You ain't even got to pray about, Lord, make me submissive. No, it's a decision. Either you want to or you don't. That's really the bottom line. Now, he will give you the grace to do it. He will give you the grace to do it, because some of us submit with an attitude. You can't submit with an attitude like, oh, God, I'm going to just do this because the Bible says for me to submit. No, ma'am, you keep that. We can go ahead and let you pray some more, because that's not the attitude that we need to have when it comes down to submitting to our husbands. It has to be something that we want to do. God is a gentleman, and he will not make us do anything we don't want to do. Gail, we have a caller on the line. Good morning, caller.
Good morning. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can. Good morning.
Good morning. Praise the Lord. This is Pastor Prophetess Slaughter, and I have really, really been enjoying this call. My phones are acting up, and I said, it's just the enemy trying to keep me from off the lines, but I was able to get on, so I'm excited about that. And, I mean, you are really, really, I want to just encourage you, if I can. I think her name is Gail. I don't want to call you the wrong name.
Yes, my name is Gail.
Yes.
I just want to encourage you because when you, it takes a forerunner, you know, to do things, and then everybody else jumps on board. You know, for a while, Kirk Franklin, they dogged him because of the way he did his music. Now everybody and their mama trying to make music like Kirk Franklin, you know. So, you know, when God gives us something, he gives it to us because we have the courage to do it, and we have the strength to not care what people think. And see, by me, even me going through that as far as church is concerned, because of my past, you know, and I used to strip. So, you know, I understand the stigma with that. And some girls are, you know, a little bit crazy and then some are not. But, you know, when people know what you used to do and then I'm preaching and I'm pastoring, they look at me like, not her. Anybody can preach to us but her. And, you know, they do try to blacklist you. They do try to have spiritual gangs, you know, to try to keep you from doing your assignment. But whatever God has ordained, he's going to do. So I just wanted you to know personally that I appreciate this. I love it because I used to take women with me to the X-rated shops. I know, pray for me. And I used to take them with me, and I used to show them the different oils that they could get and, you know, stuff like that because most of these deacons, and, you know, that's in these churches, especially, and I love my holiness faith, I really do, but some of them are so uptight, and it's because of the wives. The wives are not ministering behind the door, and if we learn how to, and I say we because I'm a part of that faith, if we learn how to minister in the bedroom, they would shout more freely. They wouldn't be so tight collar, you know, and the women wouldn't have to pray to God to touch their husband's heart as much because the answer would already take place in the one room that's not getting that much activity. So, anywho, I just wanted to say, and also, you know, God forbid if you, me and my husband, we have, you know, we've had our ups and downs too, like every marriage. I ain't going to say we've been perfect. I'd be lying if I said that. But we enjoy old school, you know, and sometimes we sit back and just listen to old school and, you know, we'll dance and, you know, little stuff like that. You know, and people was telling me I wasn't saved because I like listening to old school. I'm like, are you serious? God wants us to have a balanced life. Where are you living at?
Yeah.
I don't.
Let me just tell you, the women who come to Bring a Sexy Back gets a CD when they leave. They get the CD with the song that they learned their chair dance to. But all the music on there is old school, get it on music, because I understand God is in the bedroom, but my husband ain't trying to make love to me to on the rough side of the mountain. He's trying to make love to me with Luther Vandross and all the good oldies.
Yeah.
So, I don't feel any less saved, and you know, a lot of people's opinions can't get me into heaven because I already know where I'm going, so I just go on and let that loose, and I will tell you that they will get a CD when they leave, and they will have secular music on it about how to set the stage for romance, so let's keep it popping, so you don't feel bad, and if you want to take some of your ladies that need to be sexual free to an adult toy store, they're all adults, and they can make a decision whether they want to go with you or not. So I tell you, continue to take them so they can continue to be free and can continue to learn how to pleasure their husband, because the word says that marital bed is undefiled.
That's right.
And you teach them that, because what happens is if they're not getting it with them, they're getting it somewhere else.
I say
amen to you, and I tell you to continue to do that and expand their thinking, and you will have less people in your congregation that your husband has to consult pastor or counsel about having problems with their finances and their sex.
Amen.
I know that's right.
I have one quick question for you. I'm changing my bed colors, and I know red is sensual, and we love red, but what is another color, or have you came across any colors that help to keep the romance? Because we have kids that love trying to come in our room. They're not babies, but, you know, everybody likes to come in here, but we're trying to keep it to where it's a sanctuary to us. It's a relaxation. So I was just trying to get your opinion on different colors.
Another really good sexual color is a deep purple, like maroon, you can go with some gold, all those kind of things. And I don't know if mainly your red, your bedroom is more red, but mix some purples and some golds with that.
Okay.
And, let me just tell you, because that literally, if you do a lot, if you keep your red, and I don't know what your bedroom looks like, but if you're just switching comforters or whatever, or if you want to keep your red comforter,
add like a purple runner on it, add some purple pillows with some golds and some blacks. I'm telling you, it's going to be hot.
All right. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank you. Thank you. If you have a question for Dale, just hit one on your line, and I will allow you to speak to her. Caller, do you have a question? Good morning. Good morning. Caller, are you there? I think you're on mute. I can hear you trying to speak.
Damn, I'm
so,
hello.
Are you there? There you
yes.
go. We can
Hi.
Hear you now.
How are
Hi.
You?
I'm
hey,
fantastic.
How
are
you?
How
you doing? All right.
I'm doing wonderful. Who am I speaking with?
This is Deidre. I had to call in. I just got a text to call in because you guys were talking about creation. And I just wanted to let you guys know that this DSB conference is so awesome for women and for wives. And the wives that have gone that we know have really, really enjoyed themselves. As a matter of fact, BSB has saved two marriages. Gail, I didn't share that with you because I just got the information, but BSB has saved two marriages as a result of them taking it on the road, coming to Philly. So I just wanted to encourage the wives to step outside of the box and come to the conference.
Well, I thank you so
Yay.
Much, Deidre. And if you don't know, Adrian, Deidre and Jocelyn are the founders of Together Marriages. And so
she
was just talking about she
found
my conference actually on the internet. And she came twice, and she was just saying when she first came, she didn't know what to expect. So I thank you so much, Deidre, for calling in, and I thank you so much for supporting bringing Sexy back to the marriage. I truly appreciate you and Jocelyn.
No problem.
Aww, this
session is so good, ladies. We really, really needed to hear. I was enjoying. I'm like, all right, let me just sneak out in the hall right quick to jump in and give my 2 cents on the conference, because I think every woman that's a wife needs to attend this conference. I received a lot, and honey, my husband is blessed as a result of.
All right. Well, thank you so much for calling in, lady. Have a wonderful day.
All right. You guys have a good one.
Thank you. God bless. Bye-bye. Any other questions, hit 1 on your phone, and I will be more than happy to allow you to speak with Gail. Gail, this has been a fun show. I'm so thankful. And for those of you who are not a part of the Wifeability world tonight, Gail is going to be talking with us on our private line where we will be getting in, okay? It's going to be great tonight. So if you are married, and or if you are engaged with a ring and a date, okay, I want to be very, very specific about that because some of us have been engaged for 12 years. I am not talking to you, beloved. God bless you, but this call is not for you. I am talking to the wife who's going to be married, has a ring, date, and she's going, you know, counseling. All of the right stuff is in place, you know, wedding dresses purchased, weaves. Sit to the side, your hair appointment is set, everybody's good, your husband to be is not crazy. We have a call tonight at 9 p.m., so just inbox me, hit me up, and I'll be more than happy to give you the access information so we'll have that one-on-one time with Gail tonight. Gail, it's been wonderful. I'm so excited. I'm going to put together a group of ladies. I'm going to pray. I'm going to go and minister to my husband and say, baby, I want to go to the conference in January. So I think all is going
to
be good.
Have you guys, and I thank you guys so much. And if you want to learn more about bringing sexy back to the marriage, just hit bsbconference.com, bsbconference.com, or bringing sexy back to the marriage on Facebook, and you can go on there. We have some videos from some past conference, so you can just get a snippet of what goes on there. And when I tell you, it's hot, it's fun, it's a safe place to come and talk about sex, marriage, and everything else in between. And Adrian, I thank you so much for having me on your radio show, and I look forward to being on your private line tonight. We're going to have a wonderful time, and I just say blessings to you for being a forerunner and saying yes to God, because when you say yes to God, all things are possible.
Amen, and same to you, the exact same word to you. So if you could just pray and just speak a word over the individuals that are listening and just pray that we become not just wives, but our husbands as well, that we become more sensitive to the will of God concerning sex in our life. We can pray about finance. We can pray about career. We can pray for our children. We pray for all these other things, but sex is not on the list. And so I am encouraging you. I release you to add prayer for your sex life to your prayer agenda. And I promise you that the fire of God will overwhelm you and your husband, and you will literally feel God's presence. I always tell people the only threesome that is actually authorized by God is you, your husband, and God. That's the only threesome you need, because he's the one that's going to give you the creativity. He's the one that's going to give you everything that you need in order to minister to your spouse. So, sis, can you go ahead and just speak a word over our listening audience?
I surely can. Spirit of the living God, I am so grateful. I am so honored, Father God, to have connected with Adrienne Bell. I thank you right now that every woman, every wife under the sound of my voice, Father God, will change the way she speaks to her husband, Father God. She will learn to build him up, Father God, and therefore she will open the door, Father God, for them both to experience spiritual sex. Spiritual sex that you created between a husband and a wife, Father God. I just give you all the honor. I give you all the praise. I thank you, Father God, that no weapon formed against this radio show is going to prosper. I thank you, Father God, that you're building Adrienne and her husband, Father God, to explode and take the airways, Father God, back from the enemy, Father God. I just worship you and I honor you, Father God. I thank you, Father God, for that every marriage is strong, is whole, is that you're the center of their joy, Father God. And I just worship you and I honor you and I lift you up and I tell the devil that you are in your pre-appointed place up under our feet. We stomp on your head. We proclaim marriage. That is a covenant that will not be broken by your antics. And I just worship God on our behalf. When I say on behalf, because God is in the midst of every single marriage. Teach us how to communicate, Father. Teach us how to love one another like you love the church, Father God. And I just worship you and I honor you and I lift you up in your precious holy name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you so much, sis. I appreciate all of our listening audience today. Tune in next week. It's going to be another powerful session of wifeability.com morning show. I hope you all have a wonderful and intentional week. God bless.
God bless.